I'm Steve Weirich, back with another episode of Apple II Time Slice. When it became possible for an individual to have a computer that was completely theirs, one that didn't have to be shared with other users and operated by professionals, what exactly could it be used for? What if a computer in the home could do more than just display text? What if it could also play games, make sound, and show graphics? That's exactly what Steve Wozniak set out to build. After finishing the Apple I, Woz didn't just want to improve it, he wanted to transform what a microcomputer could do. To understand why, we need to step back for a moment. Before Apple, Woz was working at Hewlett-Packard and Steve Jobs was at Atari. Atari's co-founder, Nolan Bushnell, wanted a follow-up to the company's wildly popular game, Pong. He wanted a game that one person could play alone. He gave the project to Jobs, knowing Jobs would bring in Woz. There was a catch. The fewer chips used, the bigger the bonus. Woz delivered a design using just 44 chips, an astonishingly low number. It worked, they got paid, and the game, Breakout, was a success. There was just one problem. No one else could understand Woz's design. Atari's engineers had to redo it from scratch and ended up using over 100 chips. But Woz had proven something important. Powerful things could be done with very little hardware. And that idea stuck with him. When he began designing the successor to the Apple I, one of his goals was to be able to run a game like Breakout, but do it in software. That meant the computer needed capabilities the Apple I simply didn't have. So Woz started adding them. First, graphics. A low-resolution mode with color blocks and a high-resolution mode with individual pixels. Then, sound. A simple speaker, driven directly by software, capable of clicks and tones. And input. Since games like Pong use a rotating knob, Woz designed circuitry to read a paddle controller. He even expanded his basic interpreter, adding commands to draw, color, and interact with graphics. All of this, not for customers, at least not yet. Woz built it so he could show off his own version of Breakout, later renamed Brickout, to his friends at the Homebrew Computer Club. But along the way, something bigger was taking shape. Memory prices were falling, so Woz designed the updated computer to support up to 48K of RAM, a huge amount at the time. Instead of sending text directly to the screen, like the Apple I, he created a full-screen buffer in memory, 24 lines, 40 characters each. That meant every character position, 960 in total, could be manipulated directly. For the first time, the display wasn't just output, it was something you could control. He also built cassette routines directly into ROM, eliminating the need for the add-on card. And then came one of the most important design decisions, expansion slots. Steve Jobs thought two would be enough, maybe one for a printer, one for a modem. Woz insisted on eight. That decision would prove critical. Those slots made the Apple II flexible, expandable, and adaptable in ways competitors simply weren't. Next, usability. The Apple I required users to wire in their own keyboard. Woz fixed that by integrating one directly into the system. To keep costs down, it was uppercase only, modeled after familiar teletype keyboards, even including a control key for additional functions. Then came power. Instead of a bulky, heat-generating supply, Jobs brought in Rod Holt, an engineer from Atari. Holt designed a switching power supply, cooler, smaller, and far more efficient than anything typically used at the time. Finally, the case. Most computers then came in industrial metal boxes. Jobs hated that look. So he hired Jerry Manock to design something different, a molded plastic case, clean and approachable, sized to fit the expansion cards Woz had insisted on. The result didn't look like a machine for engineers. It looked like something you could put on a desk, or even a kitchen table. And that was the point. What Woz and Jobs created wasn't just an improved Apple I. It was a completely new kind of computer, one that combined graphics, sound, expandability, and usability in a single, integrated system. And with it, they set Apple on a path that would change personal computing forever. I'm Steve Weirich, and this has been Apple II Time Slice.